It is a privilege when it is the ability for me to come up here and preach to you all. However, when you get a call at 7:30 this morning and you're told by, hopefully he doesn't get upset at me for saying this, but a sore-sounding pterodactyl, which is what his wife said anyway, so he can't blame me totally for that one, that he is not going to be here this morning, you have to scramble on the fly, don't you? Things get shaken up a little bit. Now, I've told him several times, I've got sermons in the back pocket I could just pull out and preach at any time. None of them are Christmas. And so he was talking, and I was talking with him this morning, and we went, well, what if we just took your sermon and not toned it down, but just devotionalized it a little? And he went, that sounds like a good idea. And so we're going to do this service, this time of getting into God's Word, a little bit different. For one, there's no real text to jump to, and I've even got to tell my guys up there who have worked so hard and get very little praise for what they do, but Micah, just work with me here. When I get to a scripture, just pull it up on the screen, because I'm going to be a little bit all over, okay? Now, Pastor Wayne had a little introduction, so I figure I would do that, so you guys kind of know where we're coming from. See, in our lives, things get shaken up, especially at Christmas, kind of like the snow globe. Now, this one has the cute glitter sparkles going on in them. Most of your snow globes, I would imagine, has that fake snow, and where you shake it up, and it looks all pretty. But what if you were the person inside? For one, you'd drown. That's water. But all of this chaos that goes around, how would you feel if you were in the inside? Many of you know my dad has also been in ministry. In fact, in 3 weeks, he retires. And he's been in ministry 10 years older than God. At least 40. What, 45 or more? My mom surprised me coming up here this morning, and my aunt. So, about 45 years in ministry. And there's one story that sticks out when it comes to chaos and things being shaken up. And it was very, very early. He's told this to me several times, and he will never forget. Hopefully, I don't butcher it. But in Bay St. Louis, which is at the south part, the coast part of Mississippi, really close to New Orleans, he was a youth minister, much like I am today. And he had this couple that had little boys. I believe they were twin boys, about 5 years old. And one particular night, their world got shaken up. You see, mom was driving over a bridge that was over one of the inlets from the Gulf of now America. And a drunk driver hit them. And she died. And my dad says it was the hardest thing he's ever had to do, to go home and tell those little boys, because his pastor was out, that their mother was never coming home. I've only been pastoring for 4+ years, but I still remember a time when I was 14. And South Carolina, the law is different now. You may not know this, but on your high school basketball teams here in South Carolina, you're allowed to have 2 homeschoolers. I'd like to think I was a help in making that change, because I wasn't allowed to play on public school teams as I was homeschooled. Public school, or the private school teams, they wanted me. The coaches all wanted me to play, but the board of trustees and all that wouldn't allow me because I didn't pay into the school. So the only thing I had was church ball. Don't get me wrong. Upward has a great ministry, and regular church leagues are great. But if you ever want to get tore up, play church ball. And if you really want to get tore up, practice against the girls' team. They figure they can't out physical you, so they cut you when death by 1,000 cuts. Well, my coach, Jimmy Staten, he and his wife were going to have a baby. And that one night came, and she delivered a beautiful baby boy. However, over the course of the night and into the morning, the child's health would continue to worsen and worsen. And by morning, the baby had died. I remember helping out my coach as best as I could. My dad and I went over to go see him. But you could tell their whole world was upside down. He would pick me up to take to practice, and he later on told me, "Nathan, you were the best person to help me in this time, because you'd get in the car, you'd ask how I'm doing, I'd give you the short, we're fine answer, and then we would talk about the practice or the game that we were about to play." I'm sure in these moments, all of you have thought of times where your world was shaken, where you've needed a pastor or a friend or a family member to come and pray for you and love on you. Well, this morning, as we are going through the series of Christmas knickknacks, the snow globe, it shows us three people, three very important people inside the snow globe who had their lives shaken up as well. And so, as I go over these three characters, there's going to be a point made out of all of them. And I've asked some deacons to help me out this morning, and we're going to pray over these things as they apply to our lives. The first one, as you may guess, ladies first, Mary. I don't know about you, but if God came to me through an angel and said, "You're going to have a baby," when you've never had the action to create a baby, you would probably freak out just like she did. "Oh no, Lord, I've not been with a man." But as you heard this morning read, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And she, through the Holy Spirit, conceived and then later bore a son. When life shakes you up, just as Mary's was, remember these two things. Remember to praise him. She says, "Be it unto me as you will. Be it unto me according to your word." Her response was praise. Remember to praise him. And then remember, the Holy Spirit is there. Praise him. The Holy Spirit's there. I'm going to ask you, Brother Charles, would you come and would you just praise God for who he is? And then ask that the Holy Spirit be in our lives continually. Amen. Christmas time, it gets crazy. Yes, we talked about things being shaken up. But now think about the second person, Joseph. Joseph is probably, other than Jesus, one of the most fascinating characters in the Bible. You know who he is. You hear about him all the time. But nothing he said got recorded in God's Word. You ever thought about that? It wasn't what he said that was important and recorded. It was what he did that was important and recorded. Sarah and I have this running joke that if you look throughout the Bible, it's bad male leadership that causes a lot of problems. And if the men would step up and do what they're supposed to do, a lot of the chaos wouldn't be around us. Oh, I was expecting a lot of women to say amen. You go back to Adam and Eve. I am not in any way, shape, or form an advocate of ever hitting women. But if he had committed a basketball foul, blocking the shot from the hand to the mouth when Eve was trying to put that fruit in, I would have been 100% okay with it. But notice what happens when Joseph is told from the angel in a dream, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And not only that, he was the one given the name. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. And then he had to do the hard part. Well, okay, pregnancy is a hard thing, ladies. I'm not taking away from that at all. He had to trust. He had to trust that she had not been unfaithful. He had to trust that what God said was true. He had to help lead Mary and himself and his family and her family through all the shame that would come from a pregnancy outside of marriage. He had to lead her to Bethlehem and all of that chaos. He had to get the family out of town before Herod came to kill him. See, Joseph had a lot of action. A lot of things that shook up his life. But he had trust. He had faithfulness. And it was unwavering. Because the only thing you ever hear about Joseph is that when the angel told him what to do, he did it. When God told him what to do, he did it. There was trust. There was obedience. There was faithfulness. So Barry, I'm going to hand the mic to you. Or you just come up to this one. This will be good. Unmute the blue mic there, Brendan. And would you just praise God for Joseph's faithfulness and trust and pray that we would have the same at this time?
Yes. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how do we express our love and devotion and the joy that we have of having your son? But we want to lift up the man who stepped into the gap, the man who decided what had to be done and did it, that his faithfulness, his dedication, his belief in what you had presented to him, that he knew that what he was doing was right. Joseph was the one person fit for the job, a carpenter, somebody who knew how to get the job done, someone who believed in his God, and he believed everything that you told him. Lord, we can't thank you enough for his dedication, for what he did, and how he felt about following your word. Because without that faith, without that dedication, without it being true in his heart on what he had to do, everything probably would not have happened the way it should have. And we thank you, Lord, so much for that. We pray that all men, step into the gap like that when there's a need And when it's a time of doubt that they believe and fall back on their belief in you and your love and your caring to carry them through to victory, whatever it may be. We thank you for all these things, Lord, and so many more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Barry. The third character, Jesus. The baby born on Christmas. The one who would live a perfect life, only to have the whole world shaken up through his death, burial, and resurrection. I don't know why. In some days, I don't know why. I have to put it that way. Why is it that Jesus loved me that much and loved you that much? I've struggled in my life with the feeling of unworthiness. Y'all don't know what it's like to be up here, to be tasked with shepherding God's people. Pastor Wayne carries an incredible burden, and I share in that burden. But there are many a day that I don't feel like I'm worthy to do what God has called me to. I have to remember that Jesus loved me enough, and he knows me more than I know myself, and he said, I am worthy to carry out his mission. I am worthy to be saved. But this one thing I know above all else, Jesus did not deserve to be shaken up and put on that cruel Roman cross that was meant for me and for you. Micah, put Philippians 2, 6 and 8, 6 through 8 up on the screen. It's pretty far down. Let me read this for you. Who, though he, Jesus, was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For Jesus, his shaking in the snow globe of life was like no other. He experienced rejection, hardship, denial, betrayal, torture, and crucifixion. We can't even begin to grasp the degree of his humiliation, the depth of his sorrow, and the agony of his pain. He was shaken, and in his earthly life, the shaking never stopped. Here's the other thing I will contend. Not only in his earthly life has the shaking never stopped, but ever since he rose again from the grave, he has been shaking the world to its core, trying to show them that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through him. So what can we take from him? Everything, right? But most importantly, we can say, Lord, we praise you, for you are the one worthy of praise. You are the one that made all of this happen. You're the reason that we have Christmas. You're the reason we sing. You're the reason we live. He is worthy. He is worthy of all praise. Chris, would you come down? And would you just spend some time just praising God for who he is? What he's done in your life, what he's done in our church's life, and what he's done for the world.
so much. For our King, Redeemer, Protector, Father, Prince, and Chief, guide us to the flame of God. Pass, follow. Turn our eyes on, hearts on you, obey in your word, and you can only provide for you. Send us. Follow you accordingly. Trust, word, step, faith, experience, put in it. Lord, so worthy to be. For you everything. Out of the depth, it is new again, new creation. You. We may be a light to the world, tell others about you, get to have the same place with our Father. Do this, crush, penalize, our spirit. Thank you so much. Precious praise of your name, holy name, glorify and praise everything that you have done will do.
And as the choir comes out, we've got one more song we're going to sing for you this morning. We do hope that you have been blessed, but more importantly, we hope that you have been shown Jesus. Because your world may be shaken up. Everything may seem like it's going wrong. But there is one who understands in Jesus Christ. He has been more shaken, more tossed, more turned, more dead, and ever more alive. That is my Jesus.